The following podcast has been brought to you by Badger Club. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Rabble Mania show proudly brings to you, it is I, one half of the longest reigning Rabble Mania tag team champions of the world. Ha! The Angel of Death 6XL joining me as always.
LBI, the other half of the longest reigning Rabble Mania tag team champions of all times. And now, your current seven times. Reigning, defending, undisputed, Rambo Mania champion of the world, TJ the Great.
And we are
the Banter Club, and we are not alone today, as you can clearly see.
Oh, we're not.
Yes.
Who's that Pokemon?
That takes us to our Pokemon.
Me, Mama made it. I fucking made it. What's up, world? It's Ivy. You know, you catch me always SmackDown on SmackDown and on Raw Zone, and we here.
We here.
That's Crackman on the mic.
I've given her a new moniker. Katie Kaboom!
I need you to record this soundbite so I can have that.
It'll be there. But of course, we are the Banter Club. We are here to discuss that AEW Dynamite on the Hoes Network.
The Hoes. I got Hoes.
TBS Network. You know the hoes is out there. You know what they're doing. You know how we got them mobilized. They bringing us news, and we're going to talk about some of the important news items before we talk about Dynamite. And let's kick it off with the maddest madman in all of pro wrestling. He talking his shit about a lot of shit going on, apparently, in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Kota Ibushi.
Oh, that.
Ew. Yeah. So... over the weekend, he just started this tweet storm. and people started translating because, of course, you know, it's in Japanese. And when once the translations hit and people start, you know, putting together what he's saying, he is basically going off on New Japan Pro Wrestling with the main parties he seems to be going at were the president. And this guy Kikuchi-san, who I think Ibushi referred to him as just like a booker, a guy who makes matches and calls guys to set things up.
He's like a talent relations type of guy.
Yeah, like a talent relations office type of guy. Mm-hmm. But Ibushi was talking about him and showed a bunch of like LINE messages. If you don't know, LINE is like a messaging app. He showed a bunch of messages between the two of them just talking about stuff. With Ibushi, like, just straight up being like, well, if you want to fire me, then I guess fire me, I guess. You know Kota Ibushi's fucking crazy. He don't care about nothing. So imagine fucking main event level guy. Like, well, if you want to fire me, I guess do what you got to do. Fire me. and they did fire him.
Yeah.
New Japan has fired Kota Ibushi. So, but he's talking about there's sexual harassment somewhere, whoa, which I don't think anybody's been able to quite decipher what that's about yet. Everybody's like, what's that mean? But then he was talking about, because he's been injured over the past year. So he talked about them wanting to come back sooner than he felt he was ready to come back. They were trying to rush him back. So he talked about that. There's just a lot here. I think some Yakuza talk, some talk of the Yakuza being involved.
Yo, we can't.
Yeah, I don't know nothing with no Yakuza.
Three people we're going to talk about. The mob. Well, let's go. Actually, it's four. Yeah. Mexican gangs. No, they, we don't talk about wild. The motherfucker.
Okay.
the Italian mob. We don't talk about them. No. Not at all. For all we know, they do sanitation, and we're going to leave it at that.
That's like waste management.
The Yakuza.
Yeah, the Yakuza love, you don't do that. You don't do that. Mm-mm.
The cartel? No, no.
No.
And those are our four. We will not touch that.
Yeah. Two of the four are on NXT. But,
yeah. Oh, shit. I thought we don't God talk damn. About wrestlers that are not supposed to be named.
Right, but
right.
The business is complicated.
Yeah, that's supposedly that
Kikuchi-san.
Kikuchi-san. Supposedly yeah. he's like very old school, and he had this old school vibe of like, oh, you know, you can't break kayfabe, you can't do this, you can't do that. So he hated a lot of the fucking Bullet Club shit.
Yeah. So
apparently he's that guy. So I mean, I get maybe they're Jim Cornette. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I guess there's kind of that where and then I think like Kota made an appearance for some other place that wasn't cleared with the New Japan mm-hmm. office, so there was some fussiness about that.
I remember that.
What
was their name?
I forgot. I should
but he did like a team thing or something, I think.
Yeah, it was like some team thing, but it's Kota Ibushi was a freelancer for a long time, and part of the reason was the dude is a free-spirited type of guy that don't give much of two fucks about anything.
It's why he didn't sign with the E after doing the CWC.
The dude did the CWC, went backstage, met Vince McMahon, and had no idea who he was. He shook Vince McMahon's hand, looked him in the eye, and didn't know who he was.
And said, whatever.
Yeah, just went out and fucking wrestled. Got Cedric Alexander signed, basically.
Oh, shit.
And went on about his merry way.
Yeah. Yep, I remember that shit. It was beautiful.
Yeah,
I missed the CWC. Remember when we used to watch that shit, Ted?
The CWC, I say it all the time. It was one of my favorite things WWE did in a long time. I thought it was so good. And they did, hey, whatever.
Yeah, and
the, I mean, that's what the E does. They ruin everything.
Yeah, the women's tournament as well.
Yeah. The initial women's tournaments. I mean, I like the Mae Youngs they've done since then.
Everything Triple H came up with, I liked.
Those Triple H, yeah, when Triple H was making NXT like mini Ring of Honor or whatever, it was a fun time. It was a fun time.
Do you guys ever see Trips taking control of NXT ever again?
Maybe in the future. But not in the same way that he was before, because he can't get his heart in too much stress.
Yeah.
I think before Triple... Yeah, go ahead.
My bad. Oh, no, I was just going to agree with that.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, like, if you think about it, he was doing the Vince McMahon thing, not sleeping, doing all this crazy shit, and eventually that, you know, hereditary heart problem thing showed up. And that's one of those things, like, when you have something in your family, you got to be careful, because you just never know when it's going to pop up.
I feel like we all should be careful if you really think about it, because, like, yo, Six, please don't take it to offense, but we a little bit fluffy, you know, on the fluffy side.
We fluffy, you know? Yeah.
So we have the higher chance of getting all of these things, and my mom already had 4 stents put in, so I already know that shit's in my family.
Yeah, it's not in mine, thank God. Which is,
but we also smoke, bro.
Yeah, true that. I had a friend who actually passed from a situation like that. So Triple H was lucky. I had a friend by the name of Delroy who he's one of the closest people to me. Like I've known him since I was 8. No, 7. I've known him since I was 7. So just think about that.
I'm when 31. Six was 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, like, think about that, man. Like, I still remember, like, if it was yesterday, and like, it's just the anniversary is coming up, and I'm just like, it still shocks me. And I look at Triple H like, motherfucker, you got lucky, so take it easy, you know, take it easy.
Yeah,
shit like that is hard, man. It's a rough situation, and you know, you got to do check into your background, because shit happens.
Yeah, like you said, we should all be careful and how we manage not only our lives and jobs, but you know, our health and everything. So Yeah, definitely. I don't think Triple H will be taking on too heavy of a workload. I mean, he's working obviously, but I think he'll.
He's not gonna do the Vince thing. Yeah. Vince is a lucky motherfucker. Like, I've never seen him. This man, I've never heard of him even being ill. Like, I don't know what's in his genes, but that motherfucker's made of iron.
Dude literally hates sneezing. He hates being sick.
Didn't
by sheer force of hate.
What happened?
Didn't they say he had COVID at one point?
No, I don't remember that.
But I imagine Vince is vaccinated. So
yeah, or I at least imagine that he's fucking strong enough where, like,
yeah,
it probably just in and out.
I mean, I can also believe Vince could fight COVID like, off through sheer force of hate.
Yep. You son of a bitch. You're not going to kill me. COVID. I'm never going to die. But you, I got to tell you one thing. Life's a bitch. And then you die.
You couldn't stop my shows. You think you can stop me? You
never, son
of a bitch.
Never. When I got COVID, I thought there was one day where I literally said, I'm done here. I was like, this is bad. But it was only one day. Every other day was fine. And I got lucky in that, you know, situation where it was like, I was a little sick. I felt like I had a regular cold. And then one day it was just like, fuck. And then after that day, I was literally recording the next day. Ask Tevin. Yeah.
I mean,
Vince McMahon's going to be like the next Chuck Norris.
Yeah, that man is wild. He ain't going nowhere no time soon. He wild.
Unstoppable. This man, yo.
Speaking of NXT, Dave Meltzer was talking about them, and he said that they may be going on tour again.
Mm.
They may start doing tour. They might not big national or world tours or anything like that, but like Florida loops like they used to do.
They need to.
I absolutely agree. They need to do those loops because, like, making these are all young, developmental, super green talent, and making them work one match a week on live TV is fucking crazy. Like, how do you
expect them to get used to that?
Yeah.
How do you expect them to get used to all the going and going and going and going and going and going? If they're used to just being there, you know, if you're just there all the time, yeah, you're not going to get used to that kind of life, you know?
Yeah, and I think I was going to say, I genuinely think that's one of the reasons NXT 2.0, like, I haven't watched it since December, but like in the beginning when we were, I think that's one of the reasons it had such a rocky start, because they threw all this green talent out there and they had fucking no reps. They were getting their reps on national TV. So we had to watch them learn on the job. That's just rough. They'll get better much faster if they're able to do more matches.
Yo. So I made this joke on the group chat, which is like, NXT started off as developmental for WWE. Then they somehow, because they started firing everybody, became developmental for AEW. And then, and now, you know, now they're developmental for Dykeman Club scene. Yeah, they're training Dykeman Club bouncers, Dykeman Club gangsters, the bottle service girls. They're all there.
I mean, he had the point, though. The outfit she wore, it reminds you of the girl that checks in everyone. Like,
yes,
you know, hey, let me check your coat. You know, $3, $3.
You want a hookah?
Like, what flavor you want? It's $15 for the extra head, though.
Hey. Yep.
Good for NXT if they do get back on those Florida loops. Now let's talk about, truthfully, the man of the night. God damn, Jeff. Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
Oh, God.
Fightful reports that this man is still quite unhappy with his contract situation at AEW. And is leaning toward leaving AEW in 2024 when his contract is up. He's talked about wanting to be the highest paid guy in the company and the wrestling and all that type of stuff. Apparently, he and Tony Khan had that one conversation that got kind of heated. Mm-hmm. So, once again, here we go again. Me, personally, all this stuff rings like a work to me.
Hell yeah.
Because it only ever comes up when MJF starts overtly talking about, yeah, so 2024, I might go over to fucking WWE. Mm-hmm. It's only ever when he starts doing that, like, blatantly, openly teasing it. that these things start to come out. So that's what makes me feel like it's a work. But who knows?
You know my stance on this from day one. Murder, I don't believe you.
I mean,
like, go ahead.
MJF just, I was just watching his promo on Wednesday, and it was just like, he's using it just for like culture shock. Because his entire promo, he talked about Cody. He talked about how Sean Spears was the perfect 10. You know, everything was revolved around WWE. And then when, in the marketing sense, that's what gets everyone riled up. Especially ever since Cody left.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he starts talking about my best friend, Cody.
Yeah, I love that Cody's his best friend again because he's back in WWE.
Yeah, what's more heel than being a WWE guy in AEW?
Yeah, right? But yeah, like this shit like this is what people do when they're trying to drive up their contract value. Like, welcome to big sports bidding, wrestling fans. This is what happens all the time in other big sports. Like, people start saying shit and doing particular shit to drive their value up because they know the off season's coming up and they want to get that bag. MJF, he wants a bag, and the work he's putting in right now, he's earning it. Mm-hmm. So come 2024. Like I said before, I'll say again, if WWE does throw him a fucking enormous bag, I cannot knock him if he chooses to take it. Yeah. Do I think he will? Do I hope he will? No. I would prefer to keep watching him in AEW. I like him here. But
yep.
If he takes that WWE money, I can't knock him. He earned that. So see what happens.
Best heel in the business, my man.
Yes, he is. He has earned that spot. He's taken that spot, earned it, and ran with it.
Yeah, only person that I would say even comes close is Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Dude, Roman's taking some time off, and he's not going to be in Hell in a Cell, though.
Yeah, he's going to take, but it's not a big, big thing. He's working for less, you know, less dates.
Yeah, apparently he signed a new deal where it's similar to like what a lot of the top WWE guys get now, where it's, you know, less dates and like I would imagine a lot more money and. You know, Roman Reigns is ascending to that tier with the Cenas and the Ortons and the Brocks and all those guys. Mm-hmm. So he's going to get the contract status to reflect that. He ain't going to be doing every little house show because he don't have to anymore. So,
yep.
Good friend.
Go ahead. Go do the rating.
840,000. 3-3 in the key demographic. Fifth on cable. Slightly up from last week.
Yes.
Around the same range. Again, behind a bunch of NBA content, but also this week, Real Housewives.
Oh, God.
Which one is this one?
I don't know. I don't care.
Beverly Hills. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills are back.
Fuck all that reality bullshit.
Oh, you sound so excited.
Yeah. I don't know. They took a chunk out of, not even, because I don't think the audience is really crossover like that.
No.
they have a sizable audience, so they were fourth on cable, I think. But yeah, like we've been saying, playoffs. As far as I'm concerned, the real victim of the NBA playoffs, though, is Rampage. Because
5:30, B.
Ask it.
Nope.
I'd be trying to sneak watch it at work. It don't be working, though.
That's about all the news we got. And now, I believe it's time to light the fuse.
Bring the boom.
Yes, because it's dynamite.
But before I do that, Tevin, I'm going to need a disclaimer right quick. And it's not for me.
What the hell?
The views of Long Island, Tevin.
Oh, yeah. The views of Long Island are theirs and theirs alone. Mm-hmm. And do not reflect that of the AEW galaxy.
or the rest of New York.
Or the rest of New York.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
With that being said, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, this is AEW Bizarro World.
Yep, this is their Canada.
Holy shit.
Well, I have one question to ask.
That's right. I live here now.
Tevin.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready?
I think I am ready.
No, Katie. Ivy.
Kaboom. Yeah, I'm ready.
No, you're not. No, nobody's ready. You want to know why?
Kaboom.
Because I'm ready. Let's get ready to banter.
AEW Dynamite from Long Island, New York.
Y'all bugging.
Man, I wish I would have went to this shit, but I had to.
I have no idea what was going on in that crowd, bro. What the hell?
This crowd was crazy. But this everything was off. Like so much fun. We opened this show with the Owen Hart tournament, the first round. Mm-hmm. Adam Cole versus Dax Harwood. We see Martha Hart in attendance.
Yeah, which I was going to say. That's awesome.
Crazy to see Martha Hart at a wrestling show, but really nice to see. So, yeah, it was really nice. Like, I seeing this, like I said, seeing this Owen thing really get underway, it's nice to see the lengths they're going to with it. Like, having the family there. Yo, have you seen Owen's kids?
No, I haven't. I didn't pay attention.
I don't think they showed them on the show, but they did, like, a little interview. It might be on YouTube, but his kids look just like him. It's fucking crazy.
You know, I jokingly say that a lot about Natty.
Natty, yeah.
She looks a bit more like Owen than Jim.
Yeah, than Anvil. Yeah.
Oh, but you don't know that.
It's not a diss.
It's not a diss. But I know why she's saying don't do that.
That sounds very messy right there. That just sounds messy.
The reason why I say it is, you know, they always say you become like your favorite uncle or aunt or some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they always say, like you start becoming like that person, and you start because the person you look up to is literally who you start molding yourself after. Like I remember me as very young, I didn't want to be a lot like my dad. I wanted to be more like my big brother, so I kind of like followed his footsteps in a lot of ways. But my personality is just too much like my dad because I spent a lot of time with my dad growing up. So, like, when I was little, I spent mad time with my dad. It wasn't until 12 where he did the skedaddle that shit got weird. But but while I was little, I was always around him. So there's a lot of things that I picked up from him, which is, like, the super Dominican stuff and being able to dance no matter how big I am.
Man, I'm the same way. Everyone thought I was going to end up like my mom, like be quiet and everything. But I used to hang out with my dad's brother because he was the only father figure I had. But he was a complete asshole. And ta-da!
Ta-da! I can say that a lot about my nieces and nephews. Like, none of them are really like me like that except for Adriel. And Adriel is a lot like me because he grew up with me. Like I when I was little, like I used to, every time they used to bring him over, I was like, oh, gimme. And then I would make him watch wrestling with me, and he's a wrestling fan, so I attribute that to my stupid ass. Tevin has a little cousin or something that's
yeah,
like
yeah,
that
yeah. My little cousin is, yeah, pretty much at this point, he's 20 now, but yeah, essentially molded after me.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's how that works. You impress yourself after, you know, whoever you look up to. And shit, let's talk about that with this first match. Because the beef never, even though Brett and Sean themselves squashed the beef,
this was between their fans
never seems to end. Because yep. On one hand, you got Dax Harwood, Bret Hart guy. On the other, you got Adam Cole, Shawn Michaels guy.
Yep. And he was molded by Shawn when he was over at NXT.
Shawn Michaels is his favorite wrestler. Then he went to go work with Shawn Michaels in WWE. So, yeah.
Yep.
Super hilarious.
Perfect.
But it was a good match, though.
Hell, really good match.
Tev, get into it.
I fucking instantly regret not calling off work to go to this when the crowd just starts, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, God damn it.
Shout out to both your podcasts, the Your Podcast and the Your Sports.
The Your Sports Show.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot of New York going on, and
all that year.
Yeah.
They need to bring all that year to home. didn't come this way. Not Long Island, though. Look.
Well, they what are you talking about? AEW?
We need to bring AEW back to Queens. That's just
my opinion. They're coming.
Tony Khan did say they're going to do Arthur Ashe again. So
yep, they're doing Grand Slam. They're bringing back Tony Grand Slam.
Announced
it. Yeah. Right?
They announced that they're going to call it Grand Slam again.
Yep. Announced that date. I need them tickets. Adam Cole sends Dax into the ring post, which, as the AEW commentators love to remind you, they are square. Those ring posts are square. They got edges.
Yeah. Jim Ross was cracking up when he said that. He was like, well, you know, the thing is, those ring posts are square, man. You know, there's an angle in every corner.
An angle in every corner.
He started cracking up a bit, like, damn. Like, that's a design flaw.
That's a problem.
That's what he said, but, like, he didn't outright say it, but you know that the way that he expressed himself, that's what he was saying.
Yeah, like, now, wait a minute.
That's bad.
So yeah, Cole beats Dax around the ringside. We go to Pit. We come back. Dax takes the Brett bump in the corner, and JR just goes, fuck kayfabe for a moment, and just is like, yeah, when Brett used to do that, it was just such a great bump. Like, what the hell, Jim?
So that's something that I also noticed, and I wanted to bring that up, but you brought it up first. He took that bump into the corner chest first. Oh, that's the Bret Hart bump right there. That's a great bump. You know, Bret Hart used to do that, but, you know, that was very, you know, he went right. And then I was like, Jim, we're on TV.
We on live TV, bro. What are you doing?
He thought he was at the banter club. That's what happened.
Yeah. He was in the lab like, yo, I like the way you take that bump right there. That's a good bump. Jim.
Jim. Oh. You notice all the other commentators stay shut?
Listen, they're telling us the dark side of the ring.
Tony Khan was probably in a sense that, like, Jim, shut the fuck up.
Yep.
Yeah, but that goes to show too that they were really into the match.
Dax hits the slingshot power bomb for a near fall. Cole comes back, hits the twist and patella drop because he didn't full lift him, so he like twisted him. He looked crazy. Gets two count off it. Then he hits the corner, starts tuning up the band. He wants some sweet chin music.
Yep.
And of course, the crowd starts booing. You're gonna do a Shawn Michaels super kick.
The moment he went to the corner, they were like, "Wait a minute." He did one stomp. Boom!
You thought we was in Canada for a minute. I guess we are in AEW's Canada, but they was going crazy for this. He goes to the opposite corner for another. And then Cole drops him with the super kick. That gets a near fall. Dax goes right into a crucifix on that for a near fall. We're going to talk about crucifix pins too. But crowd is giving us a standing O. Cole goes for the Panama Sunrise, but Dax catches him. Drops him, goes for the sharpshooter, but Cole kicks him away. Goes for the Panama Sunrise, it's stuffed again. Dax rolls through, hits a pile driver for another near fall. And then Dax locks in the sharpshooter. It gets a huge pop from the crowd. But then Cole, I like the way he broke out. He lowered himself and then like started kicking them in the ribs to break free. And Cole's been working his ribs the whole match. So he knocks him to the floor off the apron, and then some guy in the front row is already drunk as hell. He's like, come on, Dax. You got to get up, buddy. You got to dig deep, Dax. Come on, Dax. Get in there, Dax.
You know who reminded me of? Twin. Twin be in there. Twin gets excited. Like, you haven't seen Twin until you see him watch wrestling. He gets excited. I love watching him watch wrestling, bro. He makes me a fan again. Like, I love that shit.
he was rooting for Dax. Like, let's go.
And come on, Dax, bro, get the fuck.
Dax milked this cow now. He got up, he got to the ringside at 8, and then he started climbing, and then he went to his ribs and dropped, and it was at 9. I was like, no way, not this way. But then he got right in.
He made it at the final second.
Yeah. I was thinking the same as Tim. Like, no, not like this.
Yeah. So then he gets in the ring. Cole immediately puts him in the sharpshooter. Son of a bitch. And Dax fights and fights. But Cole's got him center ring. And with those ribs being worked the whole match, Dax has got no choice. He taps. Of course, Dax taps to a sharpshooter. Forever showing Brett respect.
I wish he didn't tap to it, and I wish he passed out to it.
I mean that would have been a classier way to go.
It would have been real. Like, it remember when Austin did it, It made him a fucking star. So I'm like, if Dax Harwood would have just passed out right there and just he would not give up, perfect. Perfect. I would have been like, perfect. You just made Dax a star right there. He was already hot.
I do like that they have him separated and like actually fighting for himself for once.
He's a really good singles wrestler. Like
they mentioned this on commentary too.
Yeah.
Yo, they gave no fucks during commentary this week. They're like, fuck it. They smoked some good dust somewhere.
I feel like there's somebody on the show who was definitely high. But I'll talk about that later. Definitely high, bro. I'm a pothead, and I'm going to tell you straight up, I think this nigga met up with some of his old homies, and shit got lit, because he was definitely lit, bro. I know when you smacked. I can tell. This man was smacked.
All right, we'll keep that in mind for later. But then after this, we got a promo from Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin. They're in the main event tonight. Jeff says, it's time for our chemistry to collide, Darby Allin.
What the fuck was this nigga talking about?
I don't know. All I know is this shit is going to be dope as hell. I was like, all right, whatever the hell that means, Jeff. Let's go. Let's do this shit.
And then Darby's side was like, man, they didn't come out here to see us fucking wrestle. They wanted to see
Darby
us die.
Said, no one wants to see us exchange headlocks, Jeff. I've asked Tony Khan to waive the rules for our match tonight. And I'm like, oh my God, they're gonna die.
Yep. But that's always a good thing to watch.
It's good to watch. Yo, listen, it's like a car crash. You know what I'm saying? It's the old adage. It's like a car crash. You know what I'm saying? It's a horrible situation, but you can't look away because it's like, oh shit.
And I like that they know their audience. Darby Allin was absolutely right. No.
Yep.
Nobody wants to see Darby Allin and Jeff Hardy exchange headlocks.
No, nobody wants to see them have a wrestling match. We want to see them die.
We got the world champ, Hangman Adam Page.
Ooh, this was spicy.
The cowboy. He comes out. He joins commentary because the matchup next is CM Punk versus Long Island's own John Silver, Johnny Hungy.
Yep.
Punk's music hits, and it gets a pop.
Yep.
Then he comes out. He's wearing an Islanders jersey.
And I don't know if you remember what he said last time he was here.
Yes. Fuck the Islanders. So then the crowd kind of bristles. And then he does clobber in time. He says, stop my music.
Yeah.
Stop my music. Then he does clobber in time. He gets up. He turns around. And it's John Tavares. It's a John Tavares jersey. For people who don't know hockey. John Tavares used to play for the Islanders. I think he was their team captain. Mm-hmm. Really good player. He left for the – he said – free agency came up. He said, there's no way I'd leave the Islanders. I love the Islanders. And then he went to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yep.
So he turned around.
And the crowd saw the name on the back.
Oh, God. It was genius. And a few of them must have known the moment they saw like the number, they were like,
"Yeah, I'm
wait sure a minute."
It didn't click with me because you know, I'm not a huge hockey guy, but I do know the John Tavares stuff.
Damn, we should have hit up Xavier to be on this right quick.
Yeah, he'd probably be able to tell you the nitty gritty of it. But the crowd was pissed once they saw the name. They're like, "Oh, fuck you, man! Fuck you." the Undertaker's outside.
He did his whole entrance, by the way. He did his whole entrance with no music after that. He's fucking the biggest antagonizer of all time, my nigga.
He loves this shit. He loves that fucking, I am the biggest heel in Long Island and Long Island only.
He said, no, cut my music. Hold up.
He wasn't the only one that had the Islanders jersey, though.
Nah. It's okay for certain, you know what I'm saying? But it's the jersey that he wore. You feel me? It's like, yo.
The way he used it to get himself more heat. Top tier.
Like, and the commentary didn't forget because they mentioned it later on commentary that a certain somebody would also leave for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I think Excalibur said later on he'd leave for the Maple Leafs the first chance he got. Yeah, so John Silver, Dark Order comes out. Yo, these dudes came out, and Anna Jay. These dudes and Lady Anna Jay. And there was no Stu Grayson, and my heart hurt. I was like, no, this ain't right. Mm-hmm. We need Stu Grayson. Get mm-hmm. you. I don't care what he costs. You get him back right now, Tony Khan. You the can't squad don't feel complete without Stu.
Is that you can't get rid of our favorite NPC?
Facts. This is the squad, the Dark Order. You can't. It felt so wrong without Stu Grayson out there, man. That shit hurt. Mm-hmm. That shit hurt. Mm-hmm. But the crowd, they're chanting back and forth for Punk and Johnny Hunky. Silver gets him in the corner, starts laying into him, but Punk cuts him off into the pit. We come out of it. Silver's making a comeback, starts laying into Punk big time with the big kicks and drops. When Silver starts doing those rapid fire kicks, those shit look so good.
Clack, 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 clack. And you hear it like the way he, I don't know if he was slapping his thigh or inner thigh, but the way he was slapping, it was perfect. Like you couldn't see it, it was smooth.
Yeah, he syncs that shit up really well.
Mm-hmm. He super saiyaned it.
Yeah, he did for sure.
Autonomous Ultra Instinct, actually. Autonomous
Ultra Instinct. He gonna have the pink hair and everything.
He got all that shit. Silver hits the corner. He stumbles a little, but then he rights himself, hits the tornado DDT for a near fall. He sets up for the spin doctor, but Punk stops him with a roundhouse. And then he gets to the apron. He looks over toward the commentary table and locks eyes with the champion. And then he's like, watch this shit. And he turns around, goes over the ropes, hits the buckshot lariat.
Fuck the cameraman.
Gets the win.
Fuck whoever made the decision to click the button on that camera angle.
Yes.
You can see how not flush. That shit was.
It was a shitty buckshot. I was so angry that this was the finish.
Cameraman is hard. If they would have caught it from a different angle.
Yeah, it probably would have looked better from a different angle.
Yep. From the back or from the side. Nope, right in front.
Yeah, but when he hit, I was like, ew. And then the ref counted three. I was like, I started booing. I became a Long Island girl. Get the fuck
out of here with that bullshit.
I was pissed. Hangman is pissed too. He's like, that shit was bullshit. He gets up. That was
doo-doo.
He storms to the ring.
You would think with the height of the popularity that they're getting right now that they would kind of step up their game in terms of the angles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hangman hits the ring. He's pissed off. And CM Punk is like, now hang on. Now, I don't know what these people, because they don't seem to like me either. I don't know what all you people's problem with me is, but it isn't personal with you people. It isn't personal with the AEW championship. It's just business. Mm-hmm. And then he goes back to that one promo we cut with MJF. I wake up in the morning, I ask myself, are you the good guy? But this morning, I woke up, I looked in the mirror, and I asked myself, are you the champ? And I said, yes.
Oh.
He said, Hangman, I know you say you're not going to shake my hand, but I'm going to tell you this. You will shake my hand, whether you're conscious or you're unconscious.
Conscious.
And he offers his hand right here, right now. And Hangman gives him one of these.
Fuck you. And CM Punk laughs in his face. Like, Punk
laughs. Too evil for him.
You know why? He's going to, I'm telling you, bro, he's going to whoop his ass. And then when he whoops his ass, he goes shake his fucking head. He's going to be all bloody and fucked up. And he's going to be like, hey, give me your head, stupid.
But thank you for my title. What?
Gonna be,
I'll be like, thank you for my title.
What title? Oh, Katie
when
wins.
Oh, okay. No, listen, man. When is all or nothing? Yeah. When is double or nothing?
May 29th.
Mm-hmm. I swear to God, I'm coming for the belt, Tevin. I'm sorry.
Nah. If you go for the belt, I'm gonna tell you one thing. Girl, you better get a goddamn replica.
I watch AEW, so there's no way. And I usually do very well on the AEW shows. Yeah. With WWE, it's a toss-up. Sometimes I do well, sometimes I won't. I don't miss on AEW.
Yeah. I always do pretty well on WWE and AEW. I just end up being the second one for some reason. Except for the last time, because damn, yo.
No, it was finally you.
Why did I watch? Why the fuck did I watch? Why did I watch? Because you're No, I had to do the graphics. Oh, there you go. There's the answer. I had to do graphics.
Yeah, now we got Tony with Britt Baker, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, Rebel, and Jamie Hayter. Britt is, of course, upset because she has to face the Joker in the Owen Hart tournament.
Should be okay. She's like,
you know, it's another conspiracy against me. It's fine. I'm going to win regardless. And she says Jamie Hayter will also win tonight. And then Tony's like, hey, if you guys both win your matches, that you're going to face each other in the next round.
Oh!
And Jamie's like, and Jamie's like, we're not going to think about that right now, right? And Britt's like, if it does happen, it's going to be a fair fight and the best woman will win. When she said that, she gave Rebel a look like the best woman will win.
If shit goes sideways, Rebel, you know what to do.
Yeah. you know what's happening. Danhausen versus Tony Nese.
Can we skip? I was so disappointed by that.
Really? You were?
It's short as fuck. Like, let's just go.
Man, I love all like, this shit.
Me too.
It was like a premature nut. The way they were hyping it, and then this fool baboon is getting excited in the group chat. I'm like, what the fuck was this?
It was great.
Like, you were expecting never went in.
An actual match out of Danhausen. I can see how you were like, what? What happens here is Danhausen goes to curse Tony Nese.
Yep.
But smart Mark hops on the apron, like, don't you do that. And then Tony takes him out, hits him with the running knees in the corner, and covers him for the 1, 2, and 3. Tony Nese gets the win immediately.
Tony's knees.
Which is hilarious because, as Smart Mark points out, Tony Nese got the jobber entrance in this match.
Yep. But he says that afterwards to hype him up and nag him on to beat up poor Danhausen again.
And he's like, this guy got an entrance and you did it. How's that make you feel? And Tony hits another knee. And Smart Mark is like, I am going to take out all your internet memes, and sets him up for the kill.
But he said, fuck your memes.
He said, fuck your memes. But then out comes the OG ultimate meme.
You don't even know me. You don't even know.
Hook runs down. He walks down. He marches down.
He power walked
into the ring. These men walked off. Danhausen looks up, sees him. And once again, he offers his hand. And Hook gives a look around. Takes his hand. He accepts. Huge pop for the handshake.
Not just huge pop, but like fucking even the commentators were like, well, I guess it's time for Hookhausen.
Yeah.
This is gonna be so over. This is gonna be extreme, bro. It's gonna be something else, man.
Unbelievably over this shit was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he shakes his hand, just walks out, and Hookhausen is on.
Yeah,
but yeah, this I love this Tony Nese Danhausen nonsense. I love them subverting the jobber entrance by having the guy that gets the jobber entrance squash the guy that gets the big entrance.
I like his theme song, by the way. Very horror.
His theme song is great. It felt like a sitcom intro or something, like a cartoon intro.
Yeah, like a Halloween kind of cartoon intro.
Yeah, like a Halloween cartoon. Your favorite fucking Danhausen. Love that Danhausen.
Something they would use on Nickelodeon for Halloween.
Yeah, yeah.
With the little, what do you call that? Would that be an organ?
Something like that, yeah.
That little creepy little sound?
Yeah. And then the Tron with the little Danhausen heads.
Yeah, very old school, like 90s horror TV block.
Yeah. I thought this was really fun. Like, and with Danhausen, like the joy of Danhausen, what makes Danhausen fun is not that people pay to see him necessarily win wrestling matches. It's all the other fun stuff he does, all the character based stuff he does. And I feel like this works.
I realized what it was. Say that again.
We didn't see much of that. It was only a minute.
Nah, it's fine. I'm just saying, you know, I like the aesthetic of it. It reminded me. So I remember now what it really reminds me of. Snick or Treat. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Wow. It does have that vibe. Mm-hmm. It does have that kind of vibe.
TBTs.
Not too young. I really thought this shit worked out for everyone. Like, Tony Nies gets a win. Good for him. And fucking, it doesn't hurt Danhausen at all. Because, like I said, Danhausen could take that. Because he'll just do some fun shit with Hook, and no one will care that he was pinned in seconds.
Yep.
So, I thought this worked out.
Yep, same here. Even though Katie is like, kaboom!
Yeah, Katie kaboomed over this.
Kaboomed. No, I wanted to see Danhausen.
No, I just wanted to see the more funny shit. It was just like, no,
you will get your Danhausen fun in due time. This week was just about officially setting up Hookhausen. Now we got Wardlow being brought to the ring for the contract.
My man Wardlow.
This shit was hilarious. What's wrong with this crowd, bro?
The video wall says boo Wardlow with the little thumbs down.
The crowd goes nuts. Boo! Yo, Long Island is weird, bro.
And that's not even the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-mm. They're wearing the fucking Burberry scarves. Oh, no, man.
They're wearing Furberries, and then they go to a video.
Oh, God.
Dark Side of the Ring. on the newest season of Dark Side of the Ring.
Oh, my God. I thought this was really an ad for Dark Side of the Ring.
I thought this was an ad, too. I'm like, oh, I thought they weren't doing it. Let's go.
And then boom.
And then because it's Jericho. It's legitimately Jericho.
It's the same way you would see an ad for
Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah. So yeah. Jericho's reading. He's like, you know, on the next Dark Side of the Ring, we're telling the story of when the greatest AEW wrestler of all time, MJF. And then Jericho stops. He's like, wait, is this for MJF? I'm not doing this for that asshole.
For that asshole. You know our history? You know our past?
You know how much you put me through? Wait, how much is he paying?
How much is he paying?
All right.
Fuck that.
The greatest, MJF.
You know, that's exactly what he's like. Oh, shit. Fuck that.
I popped so big for that.
You too.
It's a whole Dark Side of the Ring video package.
Jericho?
Wardlow's betrayal. Of MJF. Oh, Taz is in the video package. You know, MJF is my guy. Long Island's best. You know what I'm saying? And when Wardlow betrayed him. I can't do it, bro. Turn the camera off, bro.
Yo, Jake.
Jake's caption is snake guy. And Jake is like, that Wardlow, he's a bad man. You're a bad man, Wardlow. You gave that rank to the wrong guy.
And this was the next one. Legendary Jewish wrestler.
Legendary Jewish wrestler. Barry Horowitz. This was unbelievable. This was the best fucking skit I've seen in God knows how long. This was phenomenal.
It was so, and it looked just like something.
Like, I wouldn't be shocked if like they got the actual Dark Side of the Ring guys to do this for them. Like, this was amazing.
God, this whole segment. Let's keep going.
It's not over.
That's that's the most hilarious part. It's not over.
Like, MJF hasn't even come out yet. Now we get MJF's entrance. Huge pop, of course, because it's Long Island. The biggest baby face on God's green earth. Only here. This is the only place it happens. But the crowd adores it. He comes out just like CM Punk in an Islanders jersey.
Yep.
But he gets cheered for it because it's a custom Islanders jersey.
Yep. And it says MJF right on the back. 55. Number 55, MJF.
Yes.
So he's a real Islanders fan. Get the fuck.
Long Island is truly AEW Bizarre World. I love how they play with this. I really do enjoy how they play with this.
He jumps into the crowd and he does the whole CM Punk thing, and the crowd like grabs him. Oh God, this was great. Y'all weird, but I fuck with it because it's funny. It's just it's so
funny as hell, yeah. Man. It's so funny.
So according to the comic book, because it Vice isn't picking it up, they're kind of letting it fly. So I guess they could use it to guard their attention so they can get another network to pick it up.
Yeah, that's a smart play. I hope they do, because man, Dark Side is great. I love that shit.
Oh yeah.
But MJF gets in the ring, sits down, sets these conditions. He and Wardlow at Double or Nothing. And if Wardlow wins, MJF will free him from his contract. Mm-hmm. But first, he wants to give Wardlow a chance to talk to the people. My people, the people of Long Island.
Yeah, but and then he plays.
When Wardlow talks, everybody, I absolutely do not. All right. I do not want you to boo Wardlow out of the building every time he talks. Please do not do
wink,
that.
Wink, wink, nudge, wink. Nudge. And then he looks at Mark Sterling, and Mark Sterling also winks. And these are the loudest winks of all time.
Right?
And then as he's saying that, he's like, please, please. And don't give this man the loudest boo anyone has ever heard. Don't do that. No.
Don't do that. I would not want you to do that. All right.
Be nice.
He picks up the mic once, bro.
Instantly.
Oh, God.
So, of course, Wardlow can't talk. And then Max is like, all right, let's do these conditions. The first condition is, of course, I'm going to whip you 10 times. And if you get past that, you have a cage match with the chairman, Sean Spears. Wardlow looks at Sean Spears like, oh, you, I'm going to fucking kill you. And MJF is like, I don't know why you're laughing. You're 0-2 in cage matches.
Isn't he calling him like a dumbass or some shit?
Yeah, he's like, I don't know why you're laughing, dumbass. You're 0-2 in cage matches.
That's good, actually. That's good.
That's a really good line. And, of course, the special ref in that match. Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
Yep.
And then,
oh, Lord.
If he gets past that, gets a Double or Nothing. Let's talk about if you lose, Wardlow. If you lose that match at Double or Nothing,
you
will never be able to sign a contract with AEW. In the background, you can hear Vince McMahon go, oh, hell yeah, pal. That's what I'm talking about.
Wardlow, you better lose, motherfucker. I want you
better
here.
Take a dive, you son of a bitch. Take a dive. So, Wardlow's gonna sign, but he's cuffed, so he's trying to maneuver with his hand.
I can't do it.
So MJF's like, man, just uncuff him so he can sign this shit.
Let me tell you something. Whoever was undoing the handcuffs is an idiot.
Someone from Long Island, maybe.
You only have to do one cuff.
Yeah, you only have to do one cuff. Mm-hmm. Just that, and then he's free. He can do it. You don't even need his other hand out the cuff to do it.
Yeah, but no, he uncuffed the wrong fucking hand, and then he uncuffs the correct hand, and it takes him forever because he's there like,
He's fidgeting.
Hey, let me ask you a question: how many Long Islanders does it take to undo a handcuff?
All of them.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Apparently, just one, but it'll take way too long.
I'm talking shit, but my nephew lives in my family. I have family in Long Island.
I got family in Long Island too.
They'll be all right.
But yeah, MJF is like, just let him be uncuffed. Everybody looks at MJF like, you sure? And he's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. So he uncuffs him, Wardlow signs, and then he puts his hands out like, all right, let's do it. And then as soon as they go to cuff him again, he headbutts the fucking security, fights everyone off.
Yeah.
Spears covers MJF in the corner. MJF is hiding. And then he sends Sean Spears at Wardlow, but then Wardlow kills him. And then it's nobody left but Wardlow and MJF. Mm-hmm. And I love that even in this bizarre world, when Wardlow gets MJF alone, you can hear people start to cheer.
Listen, they did it with CM Punk too, where they were chanting
beautiful.
They were chanting Johnny Hungy CM Punk.
Yeah.
They were doing it. So there's some New Yorkers in here, regular New Yorkers. Yeah. I'm talking about y'all.
But I do like that the Wardlow angle is so hot that there's even a decent amount of people that are willing to stop playing along with the Bizarro World shit for a second. Like, oh, Wardlow's going to get him. Wardlow's going to get him.
Yep, yep. It got hot. That's good shit.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, but then Smart Mark runs in, jumps on Wardlow, and then Wardlow throws him off. MJF escapes. Wardlow sets up the table, and Smart Mark is destroyed. Powerbomb through the table as MJF backs away. What a fantastic segment this was. This was outstanding shit. From the video package to the promo, everything about
it. And yo, phenomenal. On commentary where they said he would turn on you.
Yeah, when MJF is talking about what he loves Long Island, yeah. Excalibur goes, he would side with the Maple Leafs in a moment.
Perfect. I love how he's still a heel to the commentator, so it's perfect.
Yeah. Because they know, like, what the hell are you talking about? The whatever's in the air in Long Island doesn't get to the commentators. It gets to everyone else, but not them.
Well, it doesn't get to some other people because they were chanting CM Punk. They were cheering.
It doesn't seem to affect everyone, but it affects enough people to where this is Bizarro World.
Yep. Just like if you notice towards the end of the whole Steve Austin, Bret Hart thing, like, Canadians started cheering Austin.
Yeah, he was just too hot.
Yeah, it happens, man.
Yeah. The FTW World Championship is on the line, brother. That's the champ. Absolute Ricky Starks.
Is that an actual championship? Because I feel like I've seen him hold this forever.
That's the reason why he's defending it, because they brought that up. It's supposed to be... Go ahead.
He defends it like once every 2 months, I feel.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like the Million Dollar Championship.
Yeah.
Where they give you a title belt just to, like, you know, oh, this is a guy. They're like, we're trying to make this guy big. You know what I'm saying? They did it with of course, Steve Austin, most famously, where he held the Million Dollar Championship. And you know, that was the... It's just like to put a rocket on somebody, technically. It's not... Technically, it is a real title, but it's not technically an AEW title.
Yeah.
You know, it's technically an ECW title, so
yeah,
it is what it is.
And even then, it was never technically recognized.
Yeah, it was technically Taz's belt.
Yeah. So it's a whole situation.
Oh. Yeah,
it's like walking around with the Smoking Skull belt when you also walk around with the regular belt.
Of course,
I like Taz. The analogy.
It's a good
thank you.
But yeah, Taz, of course, is on commentary. Jungle Boy and Starks have some wrestling exchanges to start, and then they go outside into the pip. We come out of the break. Jungle Boy sparks to come back with the big lariat. And of course, you know, fucking Jungle Boy again. I seem like I talk about every week with these lariats and shit. Jungle Boy beefing up and throwing these harder and stronger.
Jim Ross
lariats.
Said it.
JR even said it. He's getting bigger in the upper chest area.
Yeah,
he's like starting to really lay those things in.
He's talking about his workout regimen and his eating regimen. Like he sticks to his diet and his workout. So
yeah,
hopefully he gets whatever shape he's trying to get into.
Yeah, no, it's looking good in there. He yells at Ricky to get up. You hear Ricky yell back, "I'm trying."
Like the kids having fun. Let the kids play, guys.
Play. He goes for a DDT, but Starks catches him and suplex lifts him. But Jungle Boy, he holds and Tiger faints through the ropes and then hits the swinging DDT for a nearfall. The Tiger fake kick. Ricky looks for the Rochambeau, but Jungle Boy slips out, hits a super kick for a nearfall. Then he locks in the snare trap. Ricky fights his way to the ropes to break it, drops Jungle Boy with a stun gun on the apron and then goes over, grabs the FTW title. But Swerve Strickland runs down like, hey, what the hell are you doing with that? Even though the ref also ran out like, hey, what the hell are you doing?
That ref is an idiot, bro.
Yeah, this ref is a fucking idiot, man.
Oh, God. He's not interfering. He's not doing anything. The guy's coming up with a belt. He's here to warn you that he's coming up with a belt. And your dumbass. So
the ref gets out. He takes the belt from Starks.
Yeah.
And is like, all right, get out of here with this. And then Starks goes back in the ring. Jungle Boy rolls him up.
Yep.
And then the ref is arguing with Swerve. Swerve is like, leave me alone. He's getting pinned. Get the fuck away from me.
Yep.
And the ref was like, "Get out of here,
bro! Don't worry. Like, I'm leaving. Just fucking go." He's telling him, "Like, dude, you're an idiot. Just turn around.
Like, go do your job.
Fuck, nigga, I'll leave. Just go."
So Starks is able to come back. He hits Rochambeau. He gets Rochambeau and he gets the win. Post match.
That was a loud ass Rochambeau, by the way.
It was.
God, then he went all the way back.
Yeah.
And then wow,
you killed that man.
OD.
Then post match, Christian and Luchasaurus come down. Christian is not happy with Swerve. Mm-hmm. Swerve is like, "I was just trying to help." Christian's like, "You didn't help, right? Get out of here, man." Then Starks and Hobbs, they're looking at Swerve like, "Let's get this motherfucker." But then Keith Lee comes out.
Did you peep how he bumped him on his way down, Christian?
Yeah.
He bumped him heavy, bro. Like, fucking shit.
And then Swerve is like, "What?"
Like, excuse me?
That's when they started arguing, yeah. So, yeah, Keith Lee comes out. He stands with Swerve. Jurassic Express is in the ring. Starks and Hobbs are by the steps. Jungle Boy is looking upset in the ropes. And Christian, another goddamn tease. Christian looks at him in the ring. There's this lingering camera shot of Christian just looking over at Jungle Boy. And you can just feel it, like, Christian's going to get him. Christian's going to get him. Christian's going to get him. And then Christian and then just grabs him and is like, "Hey, come here, man. Let's go. Let's get out of here."
Tevin, you look too much into this, Tevin.
maybe I am, but man. Because
listen to what commentary was saying. They were saying, "Oh, he's going to support him. He's going to give him some love. He's going to, you know, lend out a helping hand."
You ain't got to linger the camera on them for like 10 seconds like that to show support, man. Christian is going to get this boy.
He hugged them, Tevin.
Christian is going to get this boy. I know Christian. I'm a Christian guy. You understand me?
What denomination?
Oh, my God.
Of the cage denomination. All right? Of the cage denomination. I know. I know how this man rolls. He tells you how he rolls. He's going to do it. He's going to get this man. I'm telling you.
Oh, man.
He bided his time. He's going to get
this By the way, they said this on commentary too, and I forgot to mention it. Hook gonna have Danhausen.
Oh yeah, Taz, Taz was like, "Yeah, I don't know how that's gonna work, but I guess we'll see."
Yeah, fucking Jim Ross goes, "He's gonna be in your casa."
Yeah.
Hook, you know, Danhausen's gonna be in my house. Like, he said that by surprise. Like, "Oh no, I don't want that in my house." You're gonna be cursing that, everything.
Cursing my house, bro.
What would you do if you found Danhausen in your house?
I'd ask him to sit down and play some video games with me.
You ain't gotta curse me, bro. I got a PlayStation. We got the goddamn Jazz,
the leader in sports entertainment.
Sports entertainment. Damn it.
All right.
These guys are maniacs.
Jericho with his fucking wizard shit. God damn it.
These motherfuckers are all maniacs. Oh, you understand
fucking,
me? Jericho with his wizard bullshit. Fucking Angelo Parker goes, "Welcome to our victory speech." JR goes, "Why are you yelling?
Why are you yelling?
Why are you
yelling?" You ever listen to Weezing and Yandel?
Oh, no.
Why is Weezing always yelling in every song? It's a song that he has with Enrique Iglesias, right? And Yandel is all like, and then fucking Enrique Iglesias doing his whole, and then fucking Weezing pops up in the song, "Ya no me besa, ya no me abraza," and I'm like, why are you yelling, my man? Why? Everybody, it's a love song they talk about, and you over here talking about, "She no longer kisses me, she no longer loves me."
What the hell's going on here, man?
Oh, yo,
anybody who knows about Weezing and Yandel, and y'all heard
Weezing
that song,
is the menace of his group.
He's actually quite accurate.
Yo, I don't understand, bro. Now, Tevin knows. Tevin grew up in the hood.
Yeah, I grew up in the hood. I know. I grew up in the Heights. I know what's going on. Then here comes fucking Daddy Magic, Matt Menard.
Oh, God.
You want to know what makes Daddy Magic's nipples hard?
What?
The fuck?
Yo, No lie, bro. I kind of wish Hazel joined us for one moment on that one topic. Yo, you know what really makes me hard? What makes me horny? What turns me on?
I'm like, what the hell? What makes
my nipples hard? Jamie Hitter and Tony Storm. I don't know what.
But enough about me. Lord. Jericho's
calm
like,
down.
Jericho's like, there's a lot of hometown heroes here tonight. But I bet you didn't know I'm a hometown hero too. And the crowd cheers. He's like, yeah, I was born down the road in Manhasset. Yeah. But I left pretty quick because this place is a dump. And the crowd boos. And then Jericho looks over. He's like,
it's true. And the way he goes, no, it's true.
Like, you know it's true. Are you mad? I'll fireball you. I'm a wizard. He fucking yells at a fan.
Him and his wizardry.
And Jericho says, Leviosa, not Leviosar. Jericho says every AEW heel's favorite catchphrase, you will never see these men again. Which, of course, means you're going to see them in a few minutes.
Like 5 seconds. Yeah. Every time that he said, time that he's ever said, you'll never see them again, they always come back.
Yeah, immediately.
Right away.
Yeah.
But this time, you know, they played it. You know,
they played it up this time. Jericho's like, we got rid of Santana and Ortiz and Eddie Kingston. You're never going to see those guys again. Daniel Garcia's like, every time wrestlers face sports entertainers, they're going to lose. But then a wrestler's music hits.
Yep.
Have we not been talking about this? BCC and Jazz?
Wait a minute. So before this happens, I'm looking at the crowd. Man, is an older dude in the crowd, and he's I guess he's an agent or security or something, and he, you know, a little old man, white hair, and he's like, he's laughing his ass off, like, yo, this is really happening, like, this is just like the fucking movie. Like,
I
guess he didn't see that movie. Like, look, it's just, this guy's Charlie Sheen. Like, there he goes.
Oh my god, it's crazy. No.
Yeah, he just looks at him like, oh, this is great. And another thing, y'all seem to forget. Eddie Kingston is Moxley's best friend. You fucking wildin'. You wildin'. Jazz.
Got fireballed by a wizard. Of course Mox was going to pull up.
Mm-hmm.
So Mox comes down, and Jericho's like, oh, all right. You know what, Mox? You're going to go. Jericho, fuck this all the way up. He's like, you're going to go on another sabbatical because it's 5-on-1.
Chris Jericho was high as fuck. Go back and watch the footage. His eyes were bloodshot red, completely red. Done. And while Moxley was coming down to the ring, he's smiling like a motherfucker. And then I guess he remembers somewhere along the line, like, oh, we beefing. And then he goes serious. But it's like he's just like this the whole time.
Yeah, Jericho's like, Mox, it's 5-on-1. What are you gonna do? But of course, Mox is not here alone. As Bryan Danielson's music hits, and out come Bryan Danielson, William Regal, and Wheeler Yuta, the BCC.
Come on down and shake that booty. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, time to kick some heads in. Time to go to the club and kick some heads in. On one side, you got Eddie, Santana, and Ortiz. On the other, you got the BCC. The Jazz realizes it is now 7-on-5. Yep. They're fucked.
Amazing. And then they talk.
Yeah. Go ahead.
They put on the YouTube, right, for All Elite Wrestling, like, why did the Jericho Appreciation Society have to retreat?
Because of the BCC.
Listen, yo.
When that BCC come to you.
Eddie Kingston is choking the legit fuck out of Chris Jericho.
They was going crazy. Fucking Yuta and Garcia started fighting immediately, which I like that the young boys started fighting.
Mm-hmm. That punch from William Regal, and then,
Regal.
Yo, one punch. Grabs shot to Jericho, the eye.
Drops him with the power of the punch. You pissed in my tea, sunshine.
Oh, you crazy. you think I'd forget? No, young Jericho.
You, Jack Swagger need to wear regular pants. No one want to see his chicken legs.
Hey, he's a tall dude. I met him in person. He's tall as shit.
He's wearing the outfit of a sports entertainer.
He has to wear capris because every pair of pants comes out as capris for that motherfucker. He's a great guy. He's tall as shit, though. It was incredible. Me and Hazel just looked up at him like, hi, we the people. We felt like 12-year-olds, even though we were like, I was 29, I think. Jay Higgins, fuck, I'm more like, we the people.
Owen Hart Tournament Round 1 on the women's side, Jamie Hayter versus Toni Storm.
Well, I'm not going to say nothing. I'm just going to say this. The entire match, all I was thinking was, well, Dolph Ziggler should have been me.
Should have been me.
I wanted to be in that ring.
My lordy lord, it is time. These two get a dueling chant early on as they're wrestling. Toni hits the misdirect dropkick, sends Jamie outside, but she gets on the apron. Jamie bumps her off into the pit. The one thing I want to say about this immediately is just, experience matters in wrestling because you can tell, like with a lot of the other girls with less experience that Jamie's been wrestling, you can tell she like slows herself down. Mm-hmm. Because when she got in here with Toni, they just went. Mm-hmm. They knew what they mm-hmm. knew that they were in there with a person that knows what the fuck to do. So they were comfortable and they just started bombing. They just started doing shit. And it was great to see. It was great to see like them work full speed. Because they knew they could trust the other person they were in there with.
Full speed.
Yeah.
This is why
you need to go back to your corner, smoke your hookah.
Yeah. Oh, we come back from break. These two are traded. Jamie goes to the floor. Toni hits a swinging DDT on the floor. Back in the ring, she goes up top. Crossbody lands for a near fall. Then Jamie hits a backbreaker. Goes for the ripcord lariat, but it's dodged. And then Toni hits a German suplex. Ooh. They go to the apron. Jamie Hayter hits a uranagi on the apron. That shit looked mean. She fucking threw her.
Shut up, Dick.
That's what she said to Toni Storm. You're a fucking nagi, and she threw her.
Hey, you're a nagi. Yeah.
But you know who was really tuned into this though? What was it, Beth Hart?
Oh, Martha Hart.
Martha Hart.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. They showed her a few times in this.
They caught her like three times. She was like this in one of them. She was doing the whole little piece of like, hey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. She was enjoying the match, which is good.
Yeah.
When they showed her first, right? She was like she was enjoying the shit out of this. And then she's like, oh, I'm on camera. Hi.
Yeah. She places her up top, lays it ahead, but I think goes for a superplex and then keeps her hooked. But Toni rolls her up for a two count. Then Toni pulls her in. It's a pile driver out of nowhere. And I guess the pile driver is Storm Zero now. Yep. Excalibur called it Storm Zero again.
Yep.
And she covered her, and she got the 1, 2, and 3. Toni Storm gets the win and advances in the tournament. I thought this match was really good.
It was really good.
But I will say.
It was amazing.
It felt like a 50. Horniness aside.
Horniness aside, they really kept up with each other, and it was that. But then they talk shit saying AEW's women's division is crap, right?
Well, here's the thing: this is not every day, or because you know we report this every week. This is not an every week situation. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're trash.
Yeah, if AEW had matches like this every week, then there's no way people would be calling their women's division trash, or no way people could believably call their women's division trash, but they don't. So, I mean, you know.
And it's a rare condition this day and age.
And I will say, as much as I like this match, I do feel like it could have got a little bit more time. Like, it felt like a 15-minute match squeezed into 10 minutes. I wish they could have gotten more time, but I really did enjoy it.
If they would have gave me more time, man.
You wouldn't be here right now.
We got a short video package for Scorpio Sky and Frankie Kazarian. Yes. They're going to face off on Rampage for the TNT title.
At 5:30.
Fuck, man.
Lexi interviews Kaz, but interviews are not allowed in AEW, and he's interrupted by Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti. They're like, hey man, the Scorpio Sky you knew is gone. You shouldn't trust that guy. And Kaz is like, fuck off. Your vlog sucks. And that's
well, the way he actually said was, he was like, well, go be unlikable somewhere else.
And he's like, I've been around a long time. I know who I can trust and who I can't trust.
Yep. And then at the end, he goes, by the way, your vlog sucks. That shit got me. It's the way where, like, everything was done.
It Sammy's was the petty walking off.
Yeah, it was Matt Petty. It was like, yeah. He walks off and he's like,
petty.
OD. And then he just goes, yo, your vlog sucks, my man.
Guys ain't got no time for that vlog shit.
Trash, my man. Get out of here.
And then for AEW, Double or Nothing, they have announced Hookhausen versus Tony Nese and Smart Mark Sterling. Smart Mark Sterling was on Twitter like, what the hell? Why am I in this match? And fucking Brian Myers was like, ha, ha, ha.
He's part of their gang, so low.
Yeah, congratulations.
Him and Zach were like, ha, ha, you got a match.
I want to see gonna what he throw wears. You.
You think he's going to wear Islanders colors?
Yeah, he's probably going to wear some silly shit.
He always wears Mets colors and shit.
Yeah, yeah, he always wears some sort of Mets colors. Mm-hmm. Smart Mark is genuinely a fun manager. I like him.
Yep.
This match is going to be fun.
I wonder what Jay thinks of all of this.
Right? Jay, probably, what the hell are you doing, Mark? Why are you fucking...
Mark, what the fuck? You're supposed to be managing me that night. What are you doing?
What happened was
I found myself in a situation.
I was cursed. I don't know how it happened, but I was cursed.
I don't know if you ever been to Dykeman. They call it brujeria.
We gotta bring Smart Mark to Dykeman. We have to bring Smart Mark Sterling to Dykeman.
Bring him to the Heights first.
We gotta bring Smart Mark to.
He's gotta get introduced first by coming to the Heights. That's how everybody. You come to the Heights first. You hang out. We see how you do.
You get acclimated.
And then we take you to Dykeman.
Then you go to Dykeman.
Everyone goes to Dykeman.
It looks like there's been enough talk. It's time for the main event. Owen Hart tournament round one. I can't believe this is round one. Jeff Hardy versus Darby Allin.
The flight show.
The rules were waived. I am nervous. Going into this, I'm nervous. Fucking Jeff comes out. He's doing all that shit.
Yeah.
Darby comes out. You can see it in Darby's face. I'm going to fucking die tonight. I'm like, oh, God. Damn.
So whenever we have a flippy match, what do I usually sing?
What? Oh, yes.
Get ready to fly. Right? But in this one, we're going to switch it up. Get ready to die. I'm dead.
Mance Archer probably happily watched this match in the back because everybody was trying to die.
Everybody's trying to die.
Fucking the bell rings. Darby runs out of the corner, shotgun drop kicks Jeff, and then topes into him instantly. From that point, I knew, oh no.
This is going to be painful.
And then Darby goes under the ring and just starts bringing out chairs. Yep. I'm like, okay, chairs. They start setting up the chairs. I'm like, okay, chair bridge. He sets up four chairs across each other. I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
This is a happening. This is a chair table. Yo, who was it? Fucking Jim Ross. Shut up, man. He starts going, wow, Jeff Hardy's still stunned there. Oh, God.
He drop kicked him and toe paid into him, Jim. Shit. Have you seen Darby's toe pay suicida?
What happened? Say that again.
You sure that he didn't smoke?
I mean, no, he's just older and it happens. I've spoken to JR too
probably
share.
Could use some.
He could probably use some ganja. Bro, shit. Shit ain't that bad no more. Shit.
Now I kind of get this Danhausen.
This Danhausen is hilarious.
Yeah, Jeff comes back, sets up the steps, sets him up at ringside. Darby flies over the steps, but then Jeff follows and jumps off them with a lariat. That was a cool spot. He goes for a twist of fate off the steps, but then Darby comes back and they fight to the ring. Jeff gets a twist of fate in the ropes, and then he goes under the ring to pull out, you guessed it, a ladder.
Not just any ladder.
Of course, a tall ladder.
It's the Jeff ladder.
This ladder looked like Jake Hager stacked on top of Andre the Giant, stacked on top of Morrissey, stacked on top of Braun Strowman, stacked on top of Almost.
Yes. The regular God Jeff ladder.
Yeah.
That's what should happen. In the AEW game, if you go under the ring and you grab a ladder, any other character should grab like a regular ladder. But if it's Jeff Hardy, he should pull out extremely tall ladder.
The Jeff ladder.
JR goes, when's the last time you saw one of those? When's the last time Jeff wrestled? That would be when. It was crazy that we came out of break and this was happening. Darby's climbing the ladder in the ring. Jeff is laid out across that chair bridge outside. Darby throws it up Hardy style, and then Swanton dives off the ladder down to the chair bridge below. Jeff had to get up to catch him.
Yeah, he jumped up a bit and then,
And thank God he did catch him because Jesus Christ.
He was trying to kill himself. This is no new.
This was absurd.
Yeah.
Yo, but so, the match was really short, though, if you could really think about it. They give him like 7 minutes of high-flying antics.
7 minutes of nonsense. That was all they should have gotten if they were going to do all this crazy shit. And it was more than enough. Fucking, they do that. Darby does this bump, and then immediately after it, does a coffin drop on the apron.
Yep.
Because who else other than Darby Allin would take a apron bump right after taking a fucking bump on a stack of chairs?
And then Jeff was like, nope. Jeff got the fuck out the way. He was like, hell no, I'm not taking that bump. Are you nuts?
But then Jeff is like, man, you know I got to take at least one crazy bump. And then he goes, sets up Darby on the steps. He's got the steps propped upright vertical. Mm-hmm. And he goes for a swanton to the outside on the steps. Darby moves, and Jeff Black hits the steps, goes right off him. Mm. Probably the safest of the crazy bumps, but still a fucking crazy bump.
Ouch. I'm not taking none of this shit.
Oh, that shit was crazy.
The ladder I fell off of was like maybe a 6-foot ladder. Nothing too crazy.
You fell off a ladder?
Yeah, I was at work maybe a month ago, and I was organizing some stuff, and my Jordans got stuck on the fucking step, and I was trying to, like, I was in a weird position, and everything just fell.
Were you high?
I hit the ground. No. I was organizing shit at work.
What did that mean? My foot got stuck.
Oh no! When I'm organized, when I'm doing actual work at work, I do not like be high. That's redundant. Well, it's not redundant. What's the word for it?
Ridiculous.
Not ridiculous. It's just it's counterintuitive. Like it fucks me up.
Yeah. Reductive.
Counterproductive.
There you go.
Yeah, counterproductive.
Counterproductive.
Yeah. They do that. They do that awful bump, and then Darby gets him in the ring, hits the coffin drop. And he landed flush on Jeff the way Jeff be landing on people with the swanton.
Yep. He said, oh, you like doing that? Me too.
Me too. Jeff said,
that's fine because I'm going over. And he crucifix pinned him for the 1, 2, and 3.
And I think it was Jim Ross who goes, look at that. He won with a wrestler move.
I said the same thing, though. All that crazy bullshit, and Jeff won with a wrestling move. That's incredible.
Good was shit, like, Jeff. Good
that's shit, better than shit. Because Darby was like, man, don't nobody want to see us fucking wrestle. And then Jeff was like, well, yeah, you're right, but I'm going to do this wrestling move to win.
Go win.
We need one move. Let's go.
I like that.
Good shit, Jeff. Oh, man, that was insane.
That's hilarious.
the dream match, Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin, and boy, oh boy, did they do everything to live up.
Just like Ivy said, though, I wish it was on a pay-per-view because it could have been 14 minutes instead.
Or 20, if we were lucky. Yeah. Could have been a 20
I'm good with 14, bro. Don't fuck them up like that much shit. God knows these motherfuckers will start bringing out barbed wire, fuck, and all sorts of tables and nah.
There's only so much I wanted.
Flaming tables,
and thumbtacks and coffins and
yeah, crazy.
They gonna have a death match one day, and Tony gonna do it right.
Oh Lord.
He's gonna hire a pyro specialist.
It's gonna be Ring of Honor though versus Jeff Hardy.
Mm-hmm. So I need the entire arena to fill up with smoke.
Shit, they might make it happen. But yeah, that's Dynamite. Very fun show.
Yes.
There always seems to be one Dynamite on the pay-per-view cycle that like has a solid flow throughout. Like I felt like this show just breezed.
Yeah, everything it really here did.
Was solid. Everything was setting up something important for the pay-per-view. Like we had Mox coming to join Eddie. And BCC getting involved. Hookhausen finally formed. Hook shake this man's hand. Yep. MJF and Wardlow is set for the pay-per-view. We're doing the Owen Hart tournament. Fun AEW TV. Really fun.
I was kind of scared going into this because I was like, long story short, what was happening in my home. There was like mad people in the kitchen and, you know, doing kitchen shit. And I'm like, fuck, man, I need to make breakfast. Fuck, I got to watch the show. Fuck. By the time I had to go out and get breakfast. And by the time I came back, I was like, fuck, man, 2 hours, man, this shit's going to be horrible. Nah, bro, this shit was, it felt quick and easy. Like Sunday morning. And like your mom.
Classic. Good AEW TV.
Yes, sir. Well, with that, all that being said, Mr. Johnson.
Someone needs
and Undertaker.
Someone needs to take your ass back to jail, sir. Not you, sir. That's that man, the horny man over there in the corner.
Me?
The horny individual, yes.
Hey, listen. Anyways, with all that being said, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Can you let these people who are watching us right now let them know where to find
us?
Let them know. Of course, yeah. You already know where to find us. Find us on Instagram at RambleMania Show and at Banter Club Podcast. Find us on Twitter at RambleMania, Facebook.com/RambleMania Show. Also find our group there, RambleMania Show's Banter Club, where any of the wrestlers and podcasters and everybody that we associate with post all our goings on and all that's going down. As far as audio goes, we're everywhere audio is found. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Overcast. Everywhere your podcasts are found, just search RambleMania Show or Banter Club. As far as the visuals, twitch.tv/RambleMania Show. Look us up on YouTube, RambleMania Show or Banter Club. When you get here, like the videos, click subscribe, and click the bell so that when a new content drops, it goes straight to you. And as for me personally, find me on Instagram at TJ the Great One. That's TJ the GR, the number 8, the number 1. And find me on Twitter at TJ the Great. That's TJ the GR, the number 8. It's as simple as that.
TJ!
That's right! TJ the Great.
You can find me on Instagram at the number 6, the letter X, the letter L. That is at 6XL. You can find me on Twitter at SIIXX8IGREAT. That is at SIIXX already. And you can find us on TikTok at RambleMania Show, where we post funny little clips from all these beautiful YouTube videos that we make for all of you.
Yeah.
Katie, let them know where to find you.
What's up, world? It's your homegirl, Ivy. You can follow me everywhere at www.rawzonenyc.com. Everything you want to know about Rawzone, the good, the bad, ugly. A lot of ugly. Because we kind of talk a lot of shit. But, you know, as for myself, at imiv.xo_. Yeah.
Yeah. With all that being said,
kaboom.
We're going to leave our Banter Club loyalists, also known as our BC aliens, out there with a little something we like to call a Too Sweet.
Too Sweet.
and a good fight.
And good night.